Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Shavuot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Yud Beis. And we've been, until now, boy, did we have a fascinating daf yesterday, huh? But we've gotten through that sugya, as far as it's nogea, our Mishnah, of the question of whether Ketores is considered to be Kiddush HaGuf, or is it Kiddush HaZdomim, and whether we hold that there is actually a Tanai Bezdin that is made in order to be able to be paid a Korbanos HaTzibur that are not meant to be, were not ended up needing to be used. And that brought us to this Machlokas that Rabbi Yochanan, we said in the end, we couldn't really find, couldn't identify a place where we have beferish this Machlokas about whether Bezdin is able or willing to make a Tanai. And we made distinctions between where the losses would be heavy, where the losses might be light, or where the condition is more likely or less likely. Fine. That brought us up to today, to the words, L'divrei Rabbi Shimon, Ein Niftin, L'divrei Chachamim Niftin, that's what we closed with yesterday. And this is about two lines beneath a third of the way down. So according to Rabbi Shimon, today's question is, Ula Rabbi Shimon, the let lay lev beit din matne aleihem. So, okay, we came out yesterday that according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't have this option. At the end of the year, when I say the year, I mean the fiscal year. And when I say the fiscal year, I don't mean the IRS, I mean the Torah's fiscal year, which is Nisan. So when Nisan comes along, since it's a Chodesh, it's a Chadash, meaning you have to be Mechadesh things and start again. So we need to bring from the Truma HaChadashah, which is the new shkalim that were collected prior to Nisan. And if you hold late based in Matna Aleihem, so then you would be able to simply buy out the Hegdash on the old Korbanos and now make them Kodesh, utilizing the money from the new shkalim. But if you don't hold of Rabbi Shimon, what the heck do you do with all of these Korbanos? Since they are now, they're Tamimim, and there's nothing that we can do about them to sell them, what do we do with them? So according to Rabbi Shimon, the letle lev beit din matne aleihem, my avdin lohu. What can we do in order to be able to bring them on the Mizbeach? We cannot bring them as the Tamidim or the Musafim that they were meant to be, because they're from last year's Shkalim. Omar Rav Shmuel, Omer of Yitzchak, Omer of Yochanan, Mekitzin Bahem et HaMizbeach. What we do is we use them as a kayetz. Kayetz, we'll see later, is a word for dessert. Of course, it's based on the idea of the figs, which are the period of, that's why we call it the summer. The summer, that's the period where we're able to pick figs every day. So the kayetz is the fig picking. And what it means is, you know, like they say in Yiddish or German, kompot. It's basically the Mizbeach needs a dessert every once in a while. So if the Mizbeach isn't busy, we make it busy. And we give it additional olot. Those are considered to be nidafot, but they're paid for by the tzibur. And that din is what it is we can use them for, even though we can't use them for the actual chiyuv, but we can use them for a gift. So if that's the case, we would have to do that because we don't have any other use for it, according to Rabbi Shimon. Om Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, I want you to know one thing. That may be true. Let me just pull down this. Too much sun here. Yeah, for sun shield, spirit, sorry. So, you should know that even though we just said that according to Rabbi Shimon, you could do that with all of your leftover korbanos. You cannot do it with the Si'iri Chatat that we've been talking about over here in our Mishnah. Those Si'iri Chatat cannot be changed into a korban that you bring as an Adava unless you actually let them get a mum and you pay to them, and then the money can be used for the nedava. But you cannot use those actual animals because they were set aside as chataot. Now, remember, it's really true that what we are allowing, according to Rabbi Shimon, is, if you think about it, it's based on Rabbi Shimon's logic in the Mishnah, really. Because what Rabbi Shimon, remember we asked, and Rabbi Shimon, we spoke about this yesterday, according to you, if you lose one of these Seirim, could you bring it on another one of the occasions? Let's say if it was a Rosh Chodesh, could you bring it on the Yom Tovim Seirim, or vice versa, or for Yom Kippur? Anyway, so Rabbi Shimon's logic there in the Mishnah was, yes, you can, because there's all part of the general sense of coming from Mikdash and the Kodesh. So they're coming to be Mechaper on those type of things, even though it's not exactly the same. Maybe one is coming for Yediyah B'tchila, one is coming for Yediyah B'sof, and so on. One might even be coming, according to Rabbi Shimon, for a Tahor Shachal Tatami. But his language is Kulam Boyin Al Tumas Mikdash V'Kedosha. But that logic is really what he's using here, if you think about it, right? Because we can ask him, how can you use a korban that had been purchased as, let's say, a keves for a tumid? So you were supposed to be bringing it for the tumidim, but it turned out that we had so many tumidim that were kasherim that we didn't need to use it. So how can you use it for just a doron, for a non-chiev that is a more voluntary kind of thing? You don't have a right to use a tumid for that, do you? And Rabbi Shimon's logic would be the same. It was originally set aside for the general sense of bringing an oila. So therefore, it's certainly no different than bringing this seir, the achitzon of Yom Kippur, on Rosh Chodesh, let's say, right? So that's okay by me. That's okay by me, then this is okay by me. But when it comes to utilizing the seir echatas that were bought with the old, with last year's Shkolim, he agrees you can't take that animal and put it on the Mizbeah. Why? Because it's not part of a general sense of bringing Chataot. If you're putting it on the Mizbeah, you can only put it on the Mizbeah as an Ola. There's no choice for a Tzibur to bring a gift other than an Ola. Nobody can bring a Chatas as a gift. So therefore, Maida Rabbi Shimon, in that case of the Seirei Chatat, Shein Mekitzim Begufam, so all you can do is, in fact, let them get a mum, and then you'll be paid to them, and whatever you get for it, so in that case, you use the money to buy an ayla. Why is that? Because in the case of the keves for an ayla, in the case where we're talking about, let's say, using a carbon that would have been brought for the tamid, and now giving it to the Kayetz HaMizbeach, it was once an Ola, and it's now an Ola. And that's Rabbi Shimon says, look, as long as it's part of a general set, then it's okay. Okay, so this is part of the set of Olas. But in the case of the Seirim, which would have been meant for the Seirei Aragolim or for Rosh Chodesh, there Meikara was called a Chatas, and now it's called an Ola. Well, that is no good. Why? Because Gezeira Leachar Kapara Otu Lifnei Kapara. Now, the truth is that what's fascinating is that you actually, and this was the drusha that we had in Shkolim, that Yehoyada HaKohen was Medayik from the Asham Hu. He was Medayik that Lamaisa Midiraisa, all of these Korbanos, if they cannot be used for one thing, can be used for another thing. And he darshan that from Ashamhu, Asham Asham Lashem. And then when it says this Asham Asham Lashem, what is that supposed to add if it's saying it's an Asham, meaning that we're talking about all of the, like all of the Ashamot? And then you say, but actually it's not specifically an Asham. It would be an Asham Lashem, as long as you give it. So basically, anything, his claw was, anything that was coming for an asham or for any avera, which could be a chatat, is Lashem, meaning you can give it as a gift, Lashem. That drush of Yoyada Kohen meant that you could use an asham for an oila, or you could use a chatas for an oila, if it wasn't one of the chatot hametot we're talking about that it belonged to the tzibor, right? Therefore, mi ikar hadin, based on the famous drasha of the Nizam Mishnah. Said drasha, well, the Mizam Midrash Dorash the Yada Kohen is an ancient limud. So why, in fact, doesn't Rabbi Shimon simply agree that because the Torah acknowledged us, gave us that right to utilize a carbon that would be coming for a chait and put it into the same set as olas? So why really is there a problem? I understand that if we hadn't had that drasha, I understand that it's not part of the set of olas. But now that the Torah said it could be used for an ola, why can't we just put that same animal on the Mizbeach and use it as an ola? Now, this is based on one additional point. And that is, there's a machlokas, even in light of the Yehoyada Kohen drasha, whether do you need to announce that you're changing its designation? Let's say you had an usher. That usher was unusable for whatever reason. We were nischaper ba'acher, right? So now, does that automatically turn it into Lashem? Or is it required that you announce this is no longer an usham, and we hereby designate it as an oila? So that is the question that was entertained in a number of places, and what the machlokas ended up being is, and this is a Gavi concept here, asham hanitak l'riya, whether it's boi akira. Once you take that asham and you put it out to pasture, now, the question is, okay, if you use it directly, you put it out to pasture, meaning you're waiting for it to get a mum and now you're going to sell it. Suppose you actually ended up using it for an ola directly. So it would be kosher or not kosher. So that would mean that you didn't announce, I'm not using this as an usher, I'm using it as an ola, but you did already set it aside to be used at least for its money as an ola. So over there, what we say is, you could actually be yotze with that usher. So you wouldn't have to announce that it's not an usher anymore. However, we don't let you do that lechatchila. Why? Because we're afraid if you would go ahead and do it, then people may do that before you are nischaper ba'acher. You see, imagine a case where an usher is lost. Another usham is set aside to replace it. Right now, you didn't use that other usham. The first usham you want to use now as an ola before having actually been doche it by being mischaper with another. That would not be kosher for Lashem. That's still an usham. And that's the first part of the pasuk. Asham hu, asham asham Lashem. It remains an usham until such time as it is dochui. What's dochet? The fact that the original need for it was replaced by another. So we make a gezera. We don't let you rely on that drasha of Yehoyada Kohen lechatchila, and therefore it's only if it happened that the usher is kosher as an ayla. But that's a gezera. And it's called a gezera that if we let people use it, after the original asham had already been nitcha because the replacement asham had been used, if you let them use it like that, straight out, to take an asham and bring it as a carbon oila, people may get confused and actually think that you could do that with an asham that has not been dochui, and just take arbitrarily, you know what, I like this asham better, I'll make this the asham, I'll bring this as an oila, and that would not be kosher. So because of that, we made a gezerah. So therefore, we're now explaining where it comes to the oila, which is originally an oila, now an oila. We don't need to come on to any special heterim. But over here, we make a gezera, since the only basis that we have is a specific case like this, where it was already used as a kapora, which of course is not nogea oila, because oila isn't brought for a kapora anyway. So therefore, lechatchila, Rabbi Shimon would be made that. We make a gezera. We don't let you use it, even though theoretically you should be able to put it directly on the Mizbeach and use it for a nidova to the Mizbeach, a nidvas tzibur. The name of a nidvas tzibur, which is always an oila, is kayetz ha-Mizbeach. And we could show that, says Abaye. I understand that this is Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, but it actually is a braita. So we had the Braita Parvasar Yom HaKippurim, and it was lost. And you see how this is directly Lagea, our Mishnah, because that's the cases that we were talking about. So the Tzibur loses the Parvasar of Yom HaKippurim. We set aside other instead of them, or let's say we had Sirei Avodah Zarah, which were meant to also be brought inside of the Heichal, and they were lost. According to Rabbi Yehuda, kulam yamutu, because they are a classic case of chataot hametot. But remember that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon both said, the chatas tzibur is never meta. This din, as we discussed yesterday, this din of chamesh chataot hametot does not apply to a tzibur. And therefore, say Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, no. Let them go out, pasture, until they fall one day, and they get a mum, or they scratch themselves on a fence, and then you can sell them, and then you can use their money for an adava, just as if it were a regular type of carbon that was not under the din of chamesh chataot. Why? Because ein chatat tzibur meta. This halacha of the metot doesn't apply to the tzibur. Now, our question is like this. Why would they need to be left to get a mum? That's a very inefficient way of doing things. How am I? Since we're basing ourselves on the drasha that you can use an asham or anything that is ba'al achet, which is used la'ashem, so then why can't we just bring them on the mizbeach directly? Since we don't need them, and since it's a tzibur, and there's no problem of chatot ametot, put them on the mizbeach. Nikrvu inu gufayo ela. Let them be a kayetz l'mizbeach. El alav, what do you see from here? That there is a gezera of le'acha kapora otu lifnei kapora, even according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. And that is absolutely what Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak had said. So we see from this braita, there's no question that there must be this gezera. Amar Rava, forget about the braita that you just brought. We actually have a Mishnah that's true. Because it says in the Mishnah, the Hasheni, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, that when you have your two Se'irim, you had an extra one, so it says, have the same point proven from there. The Amai, why would that be true? Why don't we simply decrab Yugu Feyo Ela? Since we don't need this, so why can't we put it on the Mizbeach directly? Yalalav Shvamina Gezera, Acha Kapara, Otolif Ne Kapara. Ravina says, yes, it's exactly what we learned in the Mishnah in Temura. If an Asha was owned by someone who died, or that owner had been mitchaper with a different asha, and this fund is now left over. The din is yir'eachi yista'ev, v'yimacher, v'yibludam avle nedava, you wait till it gets a mum, sell it, and you use it for a nedava. This is the nidvas tzibur, and this is exactly this drush of Yoyada HaKohen. And again, over there we're going to have the same question, why not just use it directly? Rebbe Eliezer says, no, actually you do have to leave it to die, because Rebbe Eliezer's shita all over is, remember, here we're talking about a private asha. Rebbe Eliezer's shita all over is that anything which is the chamesh chataot hametot, the same din is true of the asha. Why? It's a beferish pasuk. Ki chatat ke asham. You remember that? And therefore, according to me, the chamesh chataot hametot apply to asham as well. Remember that the way we paskin is, another Gavi rule, kol shebechatat meta, ba'asham yireh. So wherever the equivalent case would occur on an asham, we don't let the asham die in the kippah. Instead, we let it go out to be reya, and we then use the money that we got for selling it to, after it gets a mum, we use it to buy that nedava, right? Now, again, the question over here is that Rabbi Yeshua says, Yaviv Damav Ola, and that is, of course, based on this halacha, wait until it gets a mum. Over there, the Gemara discusses in Tamura, isn't this the same thing that the Tanakhama said? And the only nafkamina, it turns out, between Rabbi Yeshua and the Tanakhama is whether we use the money for a kayetz amizbeach or whether we use the money for this oilas yochit, not kayetz amizbeach, as in the Dova. But that's the only difference between them. Now, the question again is, why did the Mishnah say, wait until it gets a mum, since all of this is based on Yoyada Kohen, Likare Vagufa Ola? Why can't we bring it directly on the Mizbeach according to both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua? I understand Rabbi Eliezer can't hold that because he holds it's an Asham Hameta. But if it's not an Asham Hameta, why not just bring it directly? Elalaf, we're forced to conclude the same thing that we said over here. There must be standing Gezerah, Li'acha Kapara, Otolifnei Kapara, and that absolutely Shmamina, it's quite clear that there's no way out of this. So that means even if it's Mutter Midiraisa to bring it directly on the Mizbeach, we won't allow you to do that because of the Chashash that it might be done even in a case where it wasn't Dochwe. Okay, so we now see that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Eitza would be, if it's coming to the new year and you've got leftover Karbanas, what do you do with those Ashamais? You simply bring them as a Karban Tzibur, which is a gift, Kayetz HaMizbeach, and there's no way to use them for their original purpose of bringing an Oila, because they're from last year and we can't be proud of them. Tanya Nami Ochi. And there's a brayta like that. Mahein meviin min ha-matarot. What exactly was done with the leftover karbanas? What it is they are used specifically the kayets. We use them for kampot, kibnot shuach. Like, it sounds like it's saying, use them to buy figs and make a kampot and pour it on the mizbeach. Which, of course, is ridiculous, as the Gemara says. What? How can you give the mizbeach figs? It says, you're not allowed to bring anything that is a fruit, anything that's sugary. And if that's the case, you can't possibly mean a kayetz pour by figs for it, which are those delicious white figs. Tani Rabbi Chanino, obviously not. It's a metaphor. Give the mizbeach its dessert the way a person would eat dessert with a nice kampot. Mizbeachs eat dessert, but the nice dessert for a mizbeach is a yummy extra korban oil. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, you cannot give dessert to the mizbeach with an oilas ha'of. You can only bring an oila of a korban. Oh, my Rava, get out of here. Ha'burcha, that's garbage. I mean, there's no basis for that. Where'd you get that from? Must have made it up. Now, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak heard what Rava's comment had been about Rav Nachman's bar of Chista's psak, and he said, "Burcha, this you call a burcha? Ha, my burcha! I taught it to him, and I don't teach garbage. And I taught it to him in the name of a very great man. So when you're accusing this of being garbage, you're attacking. Actually, I said it mishmei Reb Shimi min Arda amrita ne'ale." And it had a very beautiful basis, and it's not burkata at all. The Omer of Shimi Minardo, Motarot, Lenidvas Tzibur Azle. The whole point is that since the Motarot, the concept of Kayetz L'Mizbeach, is a Nedova, can you bring an Olat Ha'of as a Tzibur's Nedova? You show me one place that a Tzibur ever brings an Olas Ha'ov. There's no such thing. And therefore, since Ein Olat Ov B'Tzibur, it has to be, and this, by the way, is not just that there isn't one, it's that there can't be one, because the introduction to the Parsha of Olas Ha'ov is Im Min Ha'ov Korban No. That's where we learn out. Only a Korban Yochid, Loshen Yochid Korban No, not Korbanam. So only a Yochid is able to bring a korban oilas ha'of. And therefore, since there's no oilas ha'of at Tzibur, then essentially there is no way to buy a Kayetz HaMizbeach, which is a gift of a tzibur based on the pasuk. So don't tell me it's garbage. It's got a better basis than much of the stuff you say. So what we said before was that the only option that we have according to Rabbi Shimon is that we bring them as Kayetz HaMizbeach next year, and there's no way for us to fix things according to Rabbi Shimon to actually be able to use these carbonas that were originally set aside for the carbon tzibur of the carbon tomid. We can't use them. And Shmuel basically says the same thing. The Omer of Yeram Shmuel, Karbonot Tzibur, Sakin Moshachtan L'mashehen. When you actually set aside the Karbonot Tzibur, they were set aside as an Eila, but not for a specific Eila. What defines their specific status is whatever it is that you're actually shechting them for at the time that you shech them. So essentially what he's saying is, you can actually use those very same karbonas for a nidava in the next year. And Tanya Nami Hachi, Moda Rabbi Shimon, that this is Benogel with the same idea we said before about the Seirim. So you see clearly that what Shmuel was saying was referring back to the original logic of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that we mentioned before. Rabbi Shimon answered whoever it was that was asking on him. We said maybe it was Rabbi Meir, but whoever was asking on him, how do you have a right to use one sawyer in place of another sawyer? So remember, Rabbi Shimon's response was, Kulam boin altumas migdash v'kedosha. What Shmuel is hinting at over here is that that is the logic of utilizing the leftover karbonos, which were meant as the tamid, for the nidvas tzibur. Why? So I'm telling you why. Because even though you're right, originally we thought we were going to use them for bringing them as the tamid, but in actuality, we only made them an eila. It doesn't become the carbon tamid until you actually shecht it as a carbon tamid. And therefore, if now you're shechting it as a Kayetz HaMizbeach, that's perfectly okay. That's the whole point that Shmuel is making, you see, which means that Shmuel is essentially insinuating that if you would be talking about utilizing it for something out of its set, which would, of course, completely contradict the whole point Rabbi Shimon made in the Mishnah, that Kulam Raboin for Tumas Mikdash v'Kedosha, so then to utilize a Sayer for an Eila would be impossible. And that's exactly what it was that essentially, if you're smart, that's what you heard when Shmuel said those words. And now that we've learned these past two Dapim, we're all smart. So we understood that the minute that Shmuel said that, oh, wow. So in other words, Shmuel is telling us that our initial take on Rabbi Shimon was correct, and that he only meant this about the Eilais that were left over. But he never would have said this, that you can take a Korban Chatas, and the Seirim that he was referring to in the Mishnah, they cannot be brought as a Nidvas Tzibur. And therefore, we now bring the Braita to show that, yes, of course, that's what Shmuel meant. And the Braita actually backs him up. Tanya Nami Yochi. Umoda Rebbe Shimon B'Sa'ir. Now, if you're not smart, you say, well, what just happened? Shmuel made a statement about a Sakin Moshachtan, and now we're bringing a Raya from the fact that it says Rebbe Shimon is made about a Sawyer. What am I missing? Must be something missing in the Gemara. So if you understand our sugya, this makes perfectly good sense. Rabbi Shimon is made of his sa'ir, that if the sa'ir wasn't brought on the regal, this is our mission essentially, right? So then bring it on Rosh Chodesh. If it wasn't brought on Rosh Chodesh, bring it on Yom Kippur. If it wasn't carved on Yom Kippur, bring it on the regal. Vim lo karv b'regal zeh, yikrav b'kor acher. The whole point is, and this is stressing exactly what our Mishnah said. So you see from here that as long as it's the same general type of carbon, you can use it for the same general type of carbon, but that would mean you cannot use a soya for a carbon on an oila that isn't a dova. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So what we learned was, this was a big Kiddush, that you can even be mechaper on a zodin. So if somebody on purpose, he went in to the Beis HaMikdash, or he ate Kiddush and Betuma, even if he did it bezodin, then the din is that the soyer anase bifnim, now this is the partner of the soyer hamishtalayach, that is mechaper even on a zodain. Now, where did we ever hear such a thing? That I could bring a korban on a zodain? I mean, yes, there is one such case, which is the case of Shivcha Harufa, but, I mean, like, where did we ever see that on a chait that has a chatas attached to it, that chatas is mechaper on the zodain of the same chait? The Tana Rabban. The basis of it is the pasuk. It says there that v'chiper al hakedesh mitumot b'nei Yisrael umi pish'ehem l'kol chatosam. Remember that beautiful pasuk that talks about the soyer that was being brought, while the other soyer, its partner, was being taken out to the Azazel. So it says over there, not only are we mechaper HaKodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael of chatosam, but we're even mechaper on pish'ehem l'kol chatosam. That's the pasuk of Echein yaseh lo'ol moed, and so on, ha'shochein itam b'toch tumotam. That marvelous pasuk. But meanwhile, we have two separate types of averis, pesha and chatas. What's the difference between those? Pesha'im always means miradim, things that are done just as an act of being a rebellious teenager. So you go ahead to do bedavka against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. A chatas is something that is an accident. Where do we see, asks the Gemara, where do we see that pesha'im are miradim? But Chenu Omer, we find this directly in the pasuk. Melach Moav Pashabi. So this is when we were trying to get Yehoshaphat to join up with Yehoram. So that was in order to fight the Melach Moav, who had been a vassal to Yisrael, were paying tribute, and then they rebelled against it. And the name of that rebellion, the way that he puts it, is a Pesha. So it's Pashabi. And we find the same thing coming up also. This was the Melech Yisrael who had said that. But we find the same thing in Yehuda. Os tifsha livna be'etahi, that they rebelled, Livna rebelled against Yehuda. So that means that the word pesha is bedavka. And chata'ot elu hashigagot. V'chenu omer, nefesh ki techeta bishgaga. This is beferish. The concept of chait is Shigaga. So therefore, the Mishnah basically makes it very, the pasuk makes it very clear. This is an unusual korban, and it's even mechaper on the avera that's done purposefully. Continues the Mishnah, and on all of the averas in the Torah. So now it lists all the averas in the Torah, and it isn't clear what exactly all the averas in the Torah are from the list, because it seems to be a very repetitive list. So we say, akalot v'chamurot, hazdonot v'ashgagot, hoda v'lo hoda, aseh v'lo taseh, kritot u'mita bedin. So these were all of the averes in the Torah that the Sura HaMishtaleach is mechaperon, and Echad Yisraeli, and Echad Kohanim, and so on and so forth. Could you please clarify what those different things are? You say, kalot v'chamurot, aseh v'lo taseh. Isn't that the same thing? Aren't kalot an isra aseh, where the Torah doesn't give you any malchus for, and so on, and the chamurot would be, or even if it's a lo taseh without chorus, and the chamurot would be things like kritot u'meitat beitin. That's the same thing, right? You say, hoda v'lo hada. Whether it's shogeg or meiz, it's the same thing. The Hodah sounds like Mazid. Lohodah sounds like Shogeg. So what are these different categories that you're making over here? Omer of Yehuda, let me explain the mission to you. Listen, it goes like this. Al shar averot sheba Torah. Whether they are averot kalot or they are averot chamurot. Those averot, whether they were done b'shogeg or whether they were done b'mezid. Now, let's branch that. If they were done otam sha'asan b'shogeg, then we have to worry about whether they were definitely done b'shogeg, in which case they're a chiyuv chatas, or whether it's a suffik if they were done b'shogeg, which would mean that they were actually chayev to be a ashem toloi, because I wasn't sure. Let's say I wasn't sure if that was chelev or if it was shuman, and therefore I would normally bring an ashem toloi on it because it's a suffik of a chiyuv chatas. So whether, then take it another branch, whether you knew about the suffik before Yom Kippur or you didn't know about the suffik, the din would be that in such a case, you would never bring after Yom Kippur your korban ashram toloi, because this takes away anything that would have been mechayev you a suffik on those averas. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So it's really a very intricate branching Mishnah that comes in the end to tell me that Yom Kippur and the Sa'ir La'Azazel are mechaper on you from a chiyav that would have brought you before Yom Kippur to a korban asham tola. Now, the Mishnah now explains, what are the kalot? So, Elohein ha-kalot, ha-sevelot ha-sev. Elohein ha-kamurot, kritot u-mitot bezden. So the continuation of the Mishnah is a pirish on the words that we had used to begin the branching structure of the Mishnah. So it's really quite a sophisticated Mishnah and needs to be understood not at all as being repetitious, but actually the Mishnah is telling me there are things where the kapora is a complete kapora, not a toloi kapora, but an actual complete kapora, which would include only those things that you would be chayev, a chatas, but you're not sure. And that would be a chiyav of an ashram toloi, which is b'chuper on Yom HaKippurim. Now, let me ask you something, says the Gemara. When you say asay, I don't understand what it means when you tell me that the Sa'ir La'Azazel is mechaper on an asay. Well, what's the case? If the guy has not done teshuvah, how can we use the Azazel as a way of being mechaper on him? Isn't there a general halacha, which is zevach reshaim toeva? That's the way we refer to the halacha. Obviously, zevach reshaim toeva is a pasuk in Mishlei. It's not the mocker of the concept, but that when we bring korbanot, we are bringing them for people who want kapora. If this person insists that he's not going, he didn't do anything wrong, or he's not going to change, how could a korban be brought for him? But if he had done teshuvah, then he doesn't even need a korban. Because ida ova teshuvah, why does it need to be Yom Kippur? The Mishnah says it's because we bring the Sa'ir La'Azazel and Yom Kippur. Whenever a person is doing teshuvah on a mitzvah asay, this is a person missed Zman Kriyat Shema, and he was chazer b'tshuva on not saying Kriyat Shema, so that would be immediately a mitzvah asay. Of our mitzvah asay, as the Braita says, the asa teshuvah, he doesn't move for a moment before he already got mechila. Because when it comes, the moment he does teshuva, when it comes to a mitzvah asay, he immediately gets mechila. So where in the world would the Mishnah be referring to a case where you would need Yom HaKippurim and the Sa'ir La'Azazel to be mechaper? Because if you didn't do teshuva, it shouldn't work either. Omer Rabbi Zera, we're actually talking about a case where the person did not do teshuva. He was omeid b'mirdo, and our Mishnah is going according to the Shita of Rebbe, the Tanya. Rebbe Omer, al kol averot sheba Torah, Bein asat teshuva, bein lo asat teshuva. It doesn't matter whether you did teshuva or not. Yom HaKippurim is a kapora, except for very special cases, which we learn out of the pasuk. Chutz miporek ol, somebody who throws off the entire shibud that he has of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by denying Anochi Hashem Elokecha totally, or he's megala panim batorah, as we saw before, what Menashe used to do of making these cynical drushas, who may for brit basar, and someone who actually pulls up the skin to make it look like he has a foreskin, so he's mamish physically mefer brit basar, there imas atashuvah, then Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. But if he didn't do teshuvah, even Yom HaKippurim is not mechaper. So because of that, the Mishnah says that indeed, the Seir HaZazel and Yom HaKippurim are mechaper on everything, kalot v'chamurot, and it doesn't say a word about doing teshuvah, that is going aliba de Rebbe. And we will see, tomorrow we get into the Svara that Rebbe, how he understands the Psukim, the way that the Rambam paskins based on this Gemara, Bezrat Hashem, to be discussed tomorrow.